Hi, this is Bill Lindeke with the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in the Twin Cities. This episode is a conversation with Jana Flissrand about the state of bicycling in Minneapolis in general and the Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition in particular. Jana is a longtime bicycle advocate in Minneapolis and one of the key organizers with the Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition. They're a new advocacy group that's been around for a few years pushing for better spaces for bikes. I caught Jana at her suggestion during last week's Parking Day event, easily my favorite annual public space slash public art slash urban design hybrid moment. We were parked at a table along Washington Avenue, kind of parked out in the parking spot. Someone was plugging the meter every once in a while to make sure that we were paying our fair share. While traffic was kind of whizzing by, there was flower pots and flags and a planter, and we were handing out coffee in conversation to the few passersby that downtown Minneapolis has to offer. As the traffic whipped by on its way to the 35W on-ramp, Jana and I had a great conversation about positivity versus negativity, how to include more types of cyclists in the bike advocacy community, lots of different projects that the Minneapolis Bike Coalition is working on, and kind of thought about the future challenges and opportunities for rethinking Minneapolis streets, some of the political problems and challenges and ways that you can go about actually making progress for better bike design. We also put in a plug for this weekend's Lowry Avenue Streets event, which is coming up on Saturday. One final caveat. I made a promise a few weeks back during one of these podcast intros that the audio problems I'd been having were behind us and that I'd finally cracked the sound barrier and figured out how to use the microphones that I own. Well, that was a lie. It was kind of true in that I figured out how to connect my Samson Meteor mic to my computer. But when it comes to the Zoom H2, which is the other microphone, ideally I'd have two microphones. I haven't quite figured out how to turn that on properly or reliably, how to use the record button with my thumb. I forget what the acronym is for computer tech people when they are online or on the phone with someone and they joke about how the problem exists between keyboard and chair. But the same problem is the one that I was having. That's the issue. Anyway, I didn't turn my microphone on during the conversation, but I turned it on right after the conversation was over. And I did my best with what I could with the half of the audio that came out, so it's a little funky, especially the part where I'm talking. That's the good news. The good news is the mic that isn't working is the one that I was speaking into, so at least you don't have to listen to me deep breathing during Jana's conversation. Plus, Jana is much more interesting than I am, so that's the good news. Okay, and with that, enjoy this week's podcast.
You did it just right.
Well, we're here on Parking Day. We're here on Washington Avenue. We created, did the Bike Coalition set this up?
The Bike Coalition partnered with Open Book to do this particular open street space. I'm sorry, Parking Day space.
Okay. And so there's tables and you plug the meter here.
We brought some plants.
Okay, some plants. Really nice. It's nice. It cleared up. It's not raining, so that's cool. What's on the table? What's the goal? Have you had any encounters with anyone so far?
So on the table, we've got some information about the Bicycle Coalition because we want to let people know about the Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition. We've had some random people bike by and be super excited about people sitting in a parking space and stop and chat with us for a while. And we've been talking to some new volunteers who came to help host Parking Day today. And I was especially excited about the Norwegian who I could speak Norwegian with.
Oh yeah, what's the
name? Just her name is Linnea and I speak Norwegian and I was like, oh, you're from Norway, let's speak Norwegian.
How do you say bicycle?
I don't know. Cyklegruppen. The Minneapolis Bicycle Coalition grew out of a group of people who were kind of frustrated about the changes that happened on Hennepin and First, I think 3 years ago now, in downtown Minneapolis. And the way I tell the story, which may not be the actual story, but the way I tell it is we were frustrated and angry and got together and started complaining, and then very soon we realized we didn't really want to complain. We wanted to help the city not make a similar mistake again in the future. And we wanted to be helpful and a partner and proactive. And so out of that grew a group of volunteers, and we're a 100% run volunteer organization who work with the city and the park board and the county to try and improve the bicycle infrastructure in Minneapolis. And our overarching goal is that Minneapolis is a city where everyone, and I think of my mother, who's 67 and from rural Minnesota, and my niece, who is 7, can ride bicycles comfortably and safely and enjoy the city.
Now, how close are we to that goal, do you reckon?
We got a ways to go, but we're getting better, making progress. I certainly did bike my mom from my house down to her hotel at a convention in downtown Minneapolis not all that long ago, and she seemed very comfortable.
Yeah, I was just on the way over here. Just saw this nice ride stop. It's about 5 blocks away downtown, and there were just a ton of, I don't know, tourists in suits or whatever, like getting bikes, and they looked really like they didn't know quite what to do with them. Like, I don't think they were normal bicyclists.
It's clearly dramatically better. You know, I moved to Minneapolis 17 years ago, and I've always been biking in Minneapolis. I've never owned a car while living in the city of Minneapolis. And it is a dramatically different place to ride a bike now than it was then, and it's even true just 4 years ago and now. I'm really excited about it and think it will be continue to be better and better and better.
Yeah. You blog for the Bike Coalition. That's how I met you at a gathering before that. I've been reading your posts and they're pretty interesting. The latest one was about the kind of priorities. So Franklin Avenue, you're redesigning that right now, and that's one of the things that the Bike Coalition is working on now. How did that come about? Can you just tell me that story?
So the Bicycle Coalition is an advocacy group, and we don't build infrastructure or design it, but we do try to advocate with whoever it is who's doing that to make it as bike and pedestrian friendly as possible. And our focus is clearly bikes in Minneapolis, but when you make things better for bikes, you make it better for people who are walking as well. So the way we selected Franklin Avenue as one of our priorities for this year we have some friends and some members who are really active with the Bicycle Advisory Committee in the city of Minneapolis. And the Bicycle Advisory Committee is a formal group. Yeah, it's a formal, appointed by city council members, and it is noisy. We are on Washington Avenue. So the BAC, the Bicycle Advisory Committee, is a formal group of the city of Minneapolis that advises the city, the county, and the park board on bicycle infrastructure improvements. And so they have a formal role in the process for those public agencies. We track the work that the Bicycle Advisory Committee is doing, and that also means that we attend and report on their meetings. And one of the things the BAC gets is a report from those public agencies about what projects are coming up. And that helps us know where there might be opportunity to intervene or to try and advocate. Because getting somebody to change a street where nobody's doing anything is pretty much impossible. But influencing the design where something is happening anyway, it's not a budgetary issue because they've already got the budget set aside. It's really a question of making sure it's designed the right way. So Franklin Avenue is one of those streets where last year, they did a mill and overlay on a stretch, and the county didn't feel ready to jump up right away and do something about the painting on it, and so they put the stripes back where they were before. But the conversations we had then suggested they might be open to it sooner or later.
Which stretch exactly are you talking about now?
Well, so we did some stuff on Franklin Avenue last year, and we're continuing to work on the rest of it this year. So last year, we were successful in getting continuous bike lane striping from Hiawatha to the river. So that was a really great success last year, and that was, again, because they were doing some restriping and painting, and we had connections in the right places and talked to people and advocated, and they were able to do that. The part that we didn't succeed in last year is from Hiawatha to Hennepin Avenue. So everything west of the light rail line. And there's some opportunities there.
Yeah. Cool. What other projects are coming up? Like, Park in Portland is one that was just recently. What's the status of that? Just give me the skinny on it, you know?
I'm pretty excited about Park in Portland. So it is definitely going to go from 3 lanes to 2 lanes on the southern portion. So depending on whether it's Park or Portland, basically south of downtown, one of them stops, I think, at the freeway, and the other one stops at Franklin Avenue. South of those 2 points, they will go from 3 to 2 lanes, and then there will be a wider bike lane with buffers, paint buffers, on either side. There's still some questions about details around Lake Avenue and the number of turn lanes there, and there's still some debate, last I heard, about whether the bike lanes are going to be on the right or the left on Portland. They're definitely going to be on the right on Park. Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I think it matters. The side of the street, you mean?
Yeah, and like switching the route. Like, yeah, I mean, I have a story about it. Like, I was just thinking of this metaphor the other day about learning how to downhill ski, right? So a lot of the time for bicyclists, right, there's different levels of bicyclists. You'd say, like, there's the black diamond bicyclist that'll bike down Franklin no matter what it looks like, right? And then there's, like, the green circle bicyclist, right, who is comfortable, you know. I'm a terrible downhill skier. I'm petrified. And so I'm not going on anything that's blue or green or black, right? But so a lot of these lanes or whatever, they'll be green circles most of the time, right? And then there's, like, one little stretch where it's kind of hell and black diamond, and then it goes back to being green, right? But if you're a skier, if I'm going down a mountain, that, and someone says to me, hey, don't worry, it's green almost all of the time. There's only that one little cliff. That's still going to freak me out and keep me from skiing, right? That one little cliff is really important.
I love that
I'm
metaphor.
I'm on a mountain, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my metaphor. Do you think it's working? Is that a good metaphor?
I think it's a good metaphor, yeah. When I think about biking on Portland, so I'm probably one of your black diamond bicyclists.
Yeah, and most people in the or in the advocacy community are. I just love that guy.
I wouldn't go quite that far. We certainly have folks in the coalition who are active who don't like to ride off of trails, okay. And they'll ride on lanes if they need to, but they're not very excited about riding where there aren't lanes. So I would say that the black diamond bicyclist will ride down any road in any state as long as it's legal.
That's great that you have people from all sorts of diverse skill sets and interests, you know, on the group.
And, you know, I'm talking about my mom and my niece when I'm thinking about why I'm doing the work of the coalition. I don't need the advocacy of the coalition. It will certainly make my life more pleasant as we succeed in making the city more bike friendly. But I've been biking Minneapolis for 17 years. And whether it's friendly or not is not going to change whether I bike or not, but it will change whether I can bike to dinner when my parents come to visit or not. So I think about the right-hand lane versus the left-hand lane on Portland. When I bike down Portland, you know, I'm coming from the river often, and I climb that first block up from the Stone Arch Bridge to Second, and that's all great. And then I go one more block up to Washington, and that's all great. And then all of a sudden, I realize this two-way road with a bike lane on the right turns into a one-way highway with a bike lane on the left, and somehow I have to get across Washington Avenue and four lanes of one-way traffic to get to the bike lane.
I can see where you're talking about from right here where we're sitting. It's one of the cool things about doing this on the street, on the sidewalk.
And that's pretty miserable.
Yeah,
I can do it, but you have to look ahead. You have to know what to look for. I'm familiar with the route. And then when you get a bit further south with the proposed bike lane on the left that was the initial design from the county, you're going to have to go back to the right somehow and get across those lanes of traffic again. So that's one reason why it might be important to have the bike lane on the right is to avoid those really awkward back and forth across many lanes of traffic transitions. The other thing is that we have a lot more bike lanes now in Minneapolis than we did when those left-hand lanes were put there. And cars are getting pretty used to seeing bikes in bike lanes on the right. Not all the time, but most of the time, more used to looking on the right before they make a right-hand turn than looking on the left before they make a left-hand turn. And so putting bikes where people expect to see them, I think, is really important.
I have another question about something you mentioned about positivity versus negativity. Right? Mm-hmm. So you said that you got together and you were kind of very mad about the, frankly, pretty terrible bike lane.
Frustrated.
Downtown from a few years ago that improved a little bit, but not a ton. But anyway, so how do you do that balance? Because, like, a lot of the job, though, is to criticize and critique some of the street designs that are getting passed down from different public works or DOTs or whoever, right? Because, I mean, you are being critical. You are saying that's not good, that we want this, right?
Oh, and we're saying we can do better, and you can do better. Yeah, we try very hard to have realistic proposals. So while we would...
Why don't you just go crazy?
We could go crazy. I don't think that the city of Minneapolis and the county and the park board would take us seriously if we were pushing for the unrealistic all the time. So we are pushing as hard as we think we can to get the best infrastructure we can get. But we also want to be really intentional about recognizing what is realistic and what is possible given the regulatory system that we work in. You know, there might be state money that has some strings about what the design can or can't be attached to a particular route, and so suggesting something that the state won't allow doesn't make any sense.
There's a lot of inside baseball with this, like insider knowledge, huh?
We do have, so we are 100% volunteer, and we do have some volunteers with amazing expertise in things like road design, and we have some really savvy, politically savvy volunteers as well, and then we've got just a lot of smart and passionate people involved, and that's been really helpful to us in putting together what might be realistic. We also have a lot of people who are smart and passionate and can help support some of this more technical expertise, because we need the time as well. So on Washington Avenue, for example, where we're sitting, we've been advocating for cycle tracks and a road diet when they rebuild the road curb to curb in a few years. And it's a pretty radical vision. And it's doable when you're rebuilding the road curb to curb in a few years. So we're not saying do this in 6 months. We're saying when we get there, do that. And it's really handy to have the technical expertise who can come up with some really viable visions, some political expertise who can help us think about who are the right people to work with, where's the right point in the process to intervene, and then some really passionate and smart volunteers who can help collect more than 500 handwritten letters from people walking and biking along Washington Avenue.
I didn't fill one of those letters out. I should have done that.
Well, you know, the project is going to be ongoing, and we will certainly be asking for your support sometime in the future.
Okay. Well, you were saying about, like, kind of reasonable expectations or something. A lot of people would look at what we're doing now, which is sitting out on the actual asphalt street of Washington Avenue at a table with coffee and flowers as being insane, right?
Why?
Well, exactly. It's like, because no one would sit in the street. It's not a park. It's a street. This is not a public space. This is for cars. You know, those are the kind of default attitudes we have about something. I don't know. So it's just kind of funny that our expectations and kind of vision about what's possible and not possible can change, you know, pretty quickly if we do something creative like what we're doing right now, which is sitting in the middle of the road, right?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I think that people are hungry for something different. You know, when the Bicycle Coalition was sharing our vision for what Park in Portland could be, you know, and the short-term vision we have is a 3-to-2 lane conversion with a buffered bike lane. The long-term vision we have is a green parkway that connects Minnehaha Creek and the Stone Arch Bridge with something that I imagine is sort of like Summit Avenue, but with a cycle track on the side instead of bike lanes between the parked cars and the traffic. People got really excited about that vision. Like, I got really excited about that vision, and I think about this all the time. But lots of people got excited about that vision. And so I think when people are hungry for something better and know that something better could be, but they're not sure what it is, seeing one of those examples in a really concrete way can both get people excited and get people engaged in advocating for that.
Do you ever have, like, using the word concrete and start thinking about, like, metaphorical meanings of it and get those confused?
I haven't, but I'm going to now that you've said that.
Okay. it's been so fascinating to talk with you. I'm just trying to think if I have any more questions.
I have one more thing I'd like to share.
Yeah.
So with the coalition, we have two kinds of projects, and one is this concrete cement, asphalt-oriented infrastructure piece about how we build those things. Exactly. And the other kind is the abstract, visionary turn a parking space into a park, turn Lowry Avenue into an open street where it's built for people rather than for cars. Or things like, hey, I want some bike parking, volunteer-oriented projects, where volunteers have some sort of idea or a vision and they come and say, can we do this? Can we make it happen? And we say, we would love to help you with that if you can help step forward and do that. So I think it's important to know that we're both thinking about the infrastructure, but also it's this question you had that led me to talk about vision and imagination and thinking about the city in a different way, that these other kinds of projects help shift how we think about the environment we're living in and what it could be. And we need more help on doing those too.
What is going to happen on Lowry Avenue next week, the 29th?
I think it's Saturday the 29th.
The 28th.
I hope you've got a calendar to verify. I know it's on Saturday, the 29th, and Lowry Avenue, west of the river, is going to be open to people. That means cars will have to find somewhere else to go if they want to go in that part of town.
Between what hour?
I think it's 10 to 4.
Okay.
I am the volunteer coordinator for the coalition, and what that means is I'm always trying to connect the volunteers to the projects.
Does anyone coordinate you? Is there a volunteer coordinator?
I wish there were, because I could use some help. I could use some supervision.
Yeah.
What it means is I don't always know all the details of all the projects. But it's been a really exciting project because the business association up there has really taken a lot of ownership on the open streets, and so that's helped our volunteers expand the work and find more activities on the street and get more sponsors and focus on some other things because the businesses are so engaged in trying to also expand it. So there
and that's a part of town that being in St. Paul, like I don't get the Lowry Avenue.
Pretty nice up there.
Yeah.
I worked up there for a while, and I really like Lowry Avenue, and I think this is a perfect time for you to come and explore it.
Is that bridge open? It's not, though.
The bridge is not yet open. They're aiming for, I think they said mid-fall, maybe the middle of October. So we can't do an open street that crosses all the way across Minneapolis because we need to be able to cross the river.
Yeah.
But there will be sidewalks and bike lanes on that bridge when it opens.
That's a success story.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
it is.
You were trying to think of one earlier.
Well, it's hard because there are so many. It's hard to pick one.
Okay.
Yeah. But I like that one a lot because the reason we were able to have that success story is I was chatting with somebody I know from working in North Minneapolis, and he mentioned how frustrated he was about the bridge and the bike lanes having been value engineered off. And I said, really? Let's see what we can do about that. And if he hadn't brought forth that knowledge that he had about the design of the bridge, we wouldn't have been able to engage at the right moment. So it was really a combination of someone knowing something, sharing that with us figuring out whether we could do something or not and what that would be, and then engaging our network. So we got many, many, many phone calls and letters to the right people at the right time, and they were able to change it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will make an open streets that crosses the entirety of North and Northeast Minneapolis a reality sometime in the future.
That would do a lot, I think, to bridge, you know, literally
mm-hmm.
the community, metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
I can't wait. Okay, well, thanks, Yana, for talking to me today.
Thanks for asking me.
Really fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Streets.mn podcast. If you have any feedback or ideas, you can comment on Streets.mn or on Twitter at StreetsMN, or you can email me at bielendegee@gmail.com. The next email that I receive about the podcast will be the first one. In the meantime, enjoy the beginnings of beautiful fall, and maybe I'll see you at Open Streets, where I'll be taping another one of these podcast whatever things. So long from the west side of St. Paul.